Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jason Green with Sean Smith and Joe Bow. Quick episode of Blah Blah Podcast coming at you right now. We are talking about X-Men Apocalypse. Full spoilers ahead. It's just me and the two other amigos now because Evan and Chris did not see it. Just me, Joe, and Sean did. And we will be talking about it. 3, 2, 1. Sean and I already gave our non-spoiler opinions of it.
So did I.
Yeah, Jason. Oh, yeah. Sorry, no. Why don't you listen to the friggin' episode?
Yeah, come
I was
on.
Eating goldfish crackers. On episode 65, we all gave our quick thoughts about it. But now we're going to dive a little bit deeper for the next few minutes. Joe, you can go first this time.
All right. Like I mentioned in the episode, I was pleasantly surprised by it. I thought that, you know, you have these older people who are the younger people of the original older people, and then you got the new people who are new versions of the old people, but not the old people we saw in the old people.
All right, wait, why don't you just who was the best of the new people?
I don't know.
The old one.
The old one.
I love Nightcrawler out of all like the new.
Yeah.
Did you?
I really like Nightcrawler.
I feel like he was just barely used and. And also his accent kept going in and out too.
It was just nice seeing him again.
To
you know?
Me, he was like the C-3PO of this movie. You know, it's like he's comic relief every so often, but in the grand scheme of things, he doesn't do much.
The one thing I'm like really confused about is how much this doesn't line up with the other movies. Like,
just don't think about it.
It's hard not to though.
The other movies don't matter though.
Yeah.
But like at the end of Days of Future Past, where Mystique saves, it looks like Mystique's gonna save Wolverine from Weapon X.
That's
he's there
my
again.
Complaints. And Bryan Singer in them or like in Simon Kinberg are giving kind of like, oh well, she tried to save them, but Stryker got a hold of him anyway. And it's like, just admit that you didn't know what you were doing, and you're trying to make people forget about that. Because I remember seeing a scene; it was a deleted scene from it where it was actually Stryker finding him, and whatchamacallit, like they pull him out, and he's like. Colonel Stryker, whatever. What do you want us to do with him? He's like, bring him to the base. And he's like, all right, well, what do we call him? Like, Weapon X. And then he was just kind of looking out in the distance, and it was like setting up that Wolverine's falling into place where he did before. But then they were like, oh, we got to give him Mystique eyes. So it was that's one of my biggest complaints with it. But, you know, I'll just take what they said that, you know, Mystique tried to save him, but it didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned before in the non-spoiler part, I felt like the two biggest issues with this movie, and overall, I thought it was a decent movie. The tonal shifts were just all over the place. Jason mentioned how during the scene where the mansion's blowing up, that's where they put the Quicksilver, the funny Quicksilver scene in, and it's really out of place to have that kind of comedy when one, a character dies in that scene. And two, impending death on all the characters, you know? It's just, it didn't feel right to have something like that in there.
They should have just had the Quicksilver scene when he fights the Horseman and Apocalypse, because they have the one scene where Quicksilver runs up and punches Apocalypse like square in the face.
I am so happy that they were able to utilize a speedster like in a movie, because it's like that's what the person who runs at super speed should be doing, and I'm glad they actually did it, and it worked for the most part. Like, he was kind of kicking the crap out of Apocalypse.
Yeah, no, I'll give them props for utilizing a speedster well, because if you think about it, the Flash and Quicksilver, those guys are the most OP people ever. Like, you really don't need a Justice League. The Flash can just do everything himself.
They're not super strong, but their strength comes from the momentum.
Yeah. And,
The other issue that I had mainly with the movie is the Apocalypse character himself. And I thought Oscar Isaac was fine. He didn't disappoint or didn't put in a bad performance.
He's fine.
It was weird a couple times where, you know, his voice would just randomly get more electricity in it. You know, like kind of like... what was the movie? Christ, I can't remember the movie where they dubbed over the guy's voice.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
No. It was Ultron, where they kind of ramped up because he was a machine. It wasn't like as clean as like just a normal person talking. They would do it at random times, which was weird.
Well, but, when he got angry.
It was more than when he got angry. What was his... point, like he
wanted to cleanse the earth.
What the fuck does that mean? Like, does he want to kill everyone on earth? Does he want to kill just the humans?
I mean, in the cartoon,
Oh, go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, in the cartoon, if I remember correctly, I actually downloaded the X-Men cartoon recently to rewatch it. But if I remember correctly, with Apocalypse, he wanted to kill off like all the weaklings, and just only the quote-unquote strong would survive.
But what does that mean by strong?
Well, the strong meaning like people like his horsemen, mutants, other people like them. Like he would weed out and pick people who he feel are strong, and then they would just make a whole new race of humans.
And that only includes mutants.
Yeah.
It's the thing. None of this is explained in the movie.
For me, how I kind of interpret it is that he feels that all mutants are his children. Like, he created them. Like, they wouldn't be around without him. And that's why he refers to them all, like, my children, my child, my this, my that. Like, he feels like he owns them in a way. And he sees that they're the minority in society when he comes back. And he sees, you know, he's a brick and mortar guy. And he's seeing that, you know, technology has advanced and, you know, you got nuclear missiles and all. And he doesn't like that. He's OG, yo. And
yeah, yo.
That's how I kind of interpreted that. Like, he feels that his children have been kind of shoved to the side in favor of the people who don't deserve it.
Then how come he doesn't just say, I want to get rid of all the humans because they're inferior to us?
Because
that's not what he says.
No, and I think that's what they were going for, but I do admit that it wasn't necessarily clear for the most part. And I don't know if that's a thing with Fox, that they felt like it's, oh, we need more of this, so you got to cut these parts out. That kind of went further into it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that's what they were going for.
I feel like Apocalypse's powers weren't really that well defined. Like, I didn't really know what he could do. Like, he can get into your mind. He can make people melt into the surrounding area. I mean, the only really menacing thing he did was when he goes in the steel mill to meet Magneto, and those other people are behind him. He's like, "You want to kill them?" And then he just has them drop into the ground. I mean, that was pretty cool. But
it's kind of the same idea that he did with the building. You know, putting the people into the building.
I guess he can just manipulate matter. But if that's the case, he should have just disintegrated Quicksilver. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing that you run into is, like, how come he's not killing the good people? You know, it's like he's only killing background guys, you know?
Yeah.
But that you could find that in any superhero movie. It's not just, this one. But no, I mean, like, other than those two things, I thought it was a decent movie.
I didn't like how they pretty much wasted Angel. Like, the horsemen themselves were fine. You know, Storm was cool. Magneto was, one of the best things in the movie. Psylocke was there.
She was just there.
Yeah, she didn't do anything.
But
which is what I expected.
At the end of the movie...
She looked cool. Angel was just a wimp. Like, they just... again, like, they don't care about Angel. Like, they just wasted him. And he's one of the founding X-Men in the comics. Like, he's a big character. And they just waste him.
If by wasting, do you mean, obviously, they only did so much for him, but they also killed him in the movie.
But both.
Yeah, okay.
Like, well, if they kept him alive, I wouldn't have mind, because, it's set up. He joins the X-Men in the end or something. But no, they decided to kill him. Why?
I mean, obviously, they weren't going to kill Storm. Psylocke, who cares? I mean, I guess some people but...
They all should have defected in the end, because all of those characters are X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Except with the exception of Magneto, but Psylocke and Angel are, really popular X-Men members. You know, Angel from the entire history, and Psylocke especially in the 90s. Like, people loved Psylocke.
You know what the funny part is that we were reading how Olivia Munn turned down the role in Deadpool as the girlfriend for this movie, and she literally has four lines in the movie.
Yeah. She didn't want to be relegated to a girlfriend, but yet the character in Deadpool, the girlfriend in Deadpool, was way more badass than Psylocke.
And by the way, I know, I'm a football fan, so she's dating Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will post, videos of her training with the swords, and he even did some of that too. She barely uses anything in the movie.
Stuff was cut out.
True, but she has just the one fight scene with Beast, and that's it.
Let's talk about Jennifer Lawrence real quick. That was my other big problem. I wouldn't say a big problem, because she wasn't in it as much as I thought she would be, but mm-hmm. she definitely did not need to be Mystique. Like, the part that I face palmed so hard that I still have a mark on my face is when you're in Storm's house, like Apocalypse and Storm go back to Storm's house when she's like a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a poster of Mystique on the wall, and Storm's like, I want to be just like that lady. She is my hero. And I'm like, Mystique shouldn't be anyone's hero. She should be like a fucking murderer. Like, you know, like the actual Mystique is. Jennifer Lawrence should have just been made character.
They, I mean, in Days of Future Past, at the end, they kind of set her up as like she was kind of the one that she chose not to go through with you know, killing the president and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're right.
She shouldn't be Mystique. She should just be like a character they make for the film, like you know, Brave Girl or, you know, Katniss.
Well, I didn't mind it as much because Mystique has in the comics had that moments where she was on the good side. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she was a member of the X-Men at one point. Like, yeah. It's not uncommon for things like that. And you got it. I mean, they got to acknowledge that it's because it's Jennifer Lawrence and she's a heroic figure in movies. And of course they're not going to make her a full on villain.
How much do you think she got paid for this?
A lot.
Probably a lot. But I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would. Like, I knew – we all know she wasn't blue for most of the movie because Jennifer Lawrence didn't want to be in the makeup. And there's that scene where, like, when they're in Stryker's base and Beast turns blue, like, it amplifies your powers, but she's not blue.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like, oh, it's because of that. But I like that they kind of tied it in that she was kind of
hiding
behind herself.
I mean, he kind of references how he didn't take his medicine and, you know, he didn't bring his medicine. So, and that's, they set that up in the last movie where he needs to take this stuff to keep him looking human. Otherwise, he's going to look like Beast. You're kind of right in that way, too. Like, they didn't specifically mention that it'll amplify your powers, but you kind of have the right idea there. But it was funny that one part where, she first comes into the mansion and she meets up with Beast and they're both in their human form and he, you know, they were talking about, hey, you're not blue. And then Nightcrawler comes up and he's like, I'm blue.
I like that. But with Jennifer Lawrence, you know, I didn't mind. I guess you can make the argument that she'll probably fall into her villainous ways later on, because if you go back to the thing in Days of Future Past, when Beast is like, no matter how much you change it, things still fall into place. It's like the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. That things still fall into place. So we can see it. Wolverine gets the adamantium still, even though the timeline's changed. Jean Grey, Cyclops, Nightcrawler, they all wind up with the X-Men still, albeit differently than they probably how they did in the original timeline. Mm-hmm. But everyone still winds up where they need to be. So you can make the argument that Mystique could turn heel in a later movie.
Can we talk about Jean Grey?
I didn't really like that actor too much.
She was horrible.
Yeah.
She was really, I mean, I only watched the first two seasons of Game of Thrones. I stopped watching after that, but she was on Game of Thrones and I don't remember her being that bad. Like,
it was the one scene at the end where Apocalypse is mind fucking Charles Xavier.
Which was a great sequence, by the way.
Can I go back real quick before we continue? That shot where like he's really big and like he's bending Charles over and it looks like he's from behind.
But
my friend and I were watching it in the theater. We both thought of the exact same thing and couldn't stop laughing for like 15 minutes. Like, we were trying so hard to like suppress our laughter, but we just couldn't focus on a lot of the climax because we were too busy laughing.
Well, Apocalypse was,
you're in my house now, bitch.
But no, I thought that was a great sequence when he's beating
that was
up
really
Patrol.
Cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
But
it has some iconic moments, I think. Like, if you like rank like moments of the X-Men film series, I feel like some of those scenes would like be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what I was saying, the scene where Charles and Apocalypse are like mind fighting each other, and he's just like, "Jean, I need your help." He says it like three times, and it's just three close ups of Jean Grey's face, just like, "Huh?" It's like, buddy, go in there and fucking help him out.
But she's, Jesus. I mean, she also has zero expression and a wooden delivery throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, and she like that weird scene with her and Wolverine.
Yeah,
and like Wolverine escapes, is that weird shot of him just awkwardly running out of the door.
Which I wish they didn't reveal that in the trailer, because how cool would that have been seeing him? It's like in Days of Future or First Class when we didn't know he was in the movie and he just shows up. Now that was spoiled for me that he was in the movie, but you know, it's still cool because you don't know that that's happening.
There was a lot more references to Days of Future Past than I mean, I'm not Days of First Class.
Yeah,
well,
like
it's kind of like this own trilogy, you
like,
know,
like Rose Byrne's character. What purpose did she have to be in this movie? Other
she
than
do anything in the fight, she was just there.
Well, now, she can't do anything.
I think there's a plot hole in it because YouTube reviewer Jeremy Johns pointed out that like she gets, you know, at the end of First Class, she gets her mind erased. Mm-hmm. In this movie, she's acting like she's never met Charles before, but apparently at the end of First Class, she acknowledges like she met Charles.
Mm.
So like there's that wasn't this the whole point of this reboot that like you're going to stop doing things like this?
I don't think they care. I honestly don't.
Or
like,
maybe
Marvel
they just
has,
forgot.
Like, Marvel just, you know, Marvel has some plot holes here and there, but overall they run a tight ship.
Well, that's also technically Fox. So it's not even really Marvel.
No, I know. I'm just comparing. I was about to say Fox is a good shit.
Yeah.
I want to reference real quick the Magneto thing that I was talking about in the episode. In the comic I have, it was like a flashback story where Magneto eventually, like, he kind of hid in like this European town and married a woman and had a daughter and he was living a happy life. And much like in the movie where the daughter dies, this happens in the comic. But it's different. It's a lot more brutal because there's like an angry mob who sets his house on fire and the daughter's trapped inside. And then I remember like it used to freak me out as a kid. Like there's just the shot of Magneto like standing over her burning corpse.
Oh, God.
And then he kills every person in that mob, like just mercilessly kills them. And the wife lives and she flees. Like she's like, you're a monster. And she leaves. When I saw that he had a wife and a daughter in the movie, I'm like, I know where this is going, and it's not going to end well.
I think that scene was done really well too.
Yeah, I agree.
I was really interested in it because he's trying to change his ways, and he's wrote, you know, this happens, and he kills all these people. And I thought the scene where he destroys Auschwitz, like, was it Auschwitz that he destroyed?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like it was that was like pretty deep on like a lot of levels for him because he's destroying the thing that took his life away, mm-hmm. and it ties into the whole thing he was saying to his daughter, like, people took my parents away, I'm not going to leave you. So he's destroying the thing that took his parents away.
My one issue with Magneto in the movie is that like he
the space turn.
No, well, no, not that. I mean, that would make more sense if he did know that Quicksilver was his son, which why he didn't. Mention that, even though that
would have been
point.
So much better story wise if he just told him he was his son.
That was his whole point of going there, and he didn't do it. But he attempted to assassinate the. He had a hand in his trying to assassinate the president, and he
Kennedy or Nixon.
He killed JFK too because JFK
yeah,
was one of them.
The curve bullet thing. But you're talking about at the end.
I'm
of
talking
days,
about the end
past,
of
few.
Yeah.
Killed Nixon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but if someone tried to kill the president, wouldn't the FBI and everyone be looking for that person? I mean, I understand Mystique, like, because she can, she has the ability to change into other people, why you wouldn't be able to find her, but why wouldn't you be able to find Magneto?
Metal.
Because he'll put a necklace through your neck.
That's the one thing I don't understand. It's like, obviously he's not in the U.S., okay, but... they didn't even try to look for him. Like, at least put something out there saying, like, oh, you know, we tried finding him, but we couldn't, you know. Just something. Anyway. By the way, another weird part, going back to Jean Grey real quick. So we get the Phoenix at the end of the movie. That's what ends up taking out Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that scene of Apocalypse burning reminded me of Terminator 2 when Sarah Connor has the dream. The nuclear blast tearing her skin off. That's what happened to Apocalypse. Yeah. And was brutal.
If I remember correctly, once the Phoenix appears, you can't control her anymore. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Because I always thought that was the whole point of the Phoenix, is like that's what she becomes.
Like, I think it's like an early... I guess you can make the argument that this is like an early phase of it. It's not like to the point where it can consume her yet. But... It's kind of just manifesting, and that's just kind of a symbolic thing.
Because I hope it's not like, and they mentioned this in the Red Letter Media review, I hope it's not just like, you know, she can just turn it on whenever she wants and just kill people everywhere. Because at that point, it's like, she took out the most powerful mutant ever. What villain has any chance against them? They could just go,
yeah.
Jean, just take him out, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know what I could see happening? Like, she keeps kind of using it. And like in this new version now, like she keeps using it, And it's kind of like slowly driving her insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more she uses it, the more powerful she feels, but the more it's affecting her, like her mind. So it's kind of like a drug in a way. Like the more she uses it, she's feeling like this high, mm-hmm. but like it's deteriorating her and she slowly starts to become the Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Anything's better than Brett Ratner's version. I like that dig at X-Men 3 too.
So, that's right with Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny. What did you think of the way that Charles lost his hair?
Cool.
Why
not? Who cares?
I it made sense. I mean, it's not like they shaved him,
but
you know.
It begs the question, how did he get bald in the original timeline? My guess is he's old and he lost his hair.
Yeah, normally.
I don't know. Maybe he went to prison and they shaved him. I don't know.
Yeah, and he said ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it could happen.
All right, guys, you want to wrap this up? Any final thoughts?
Oh, final thoughts.
I thought it's another nice entry to the X-Men film franchise. It's not the worst. Certainly not the best, but it's a nice addition. And I'm curious where they're going to go from here with the Wolverine movie and Mr. Sinister and all of that.
Oh, do we want to hit on that real quick? The extra credit scene?
Yeah, I know what the hell that meant at all. I had to Google it.
It's Essex Corp. The name on the briefcase is not a thing in the comics, but it's named after Nathaniel Essex, a.k.a. Mr. Sinister. So it's these guys are stealing all of these mutant powers from Alkali Lake after Wolverine destroyed it all. And Mr. Sinister's thing is that he likes, from what I've got, I don't know too much about Mr. Sinister. A lot of the comics I have like Magneto as the villain or Arcade, who's a really cool character. So I don't know too much about Mr. Sinister, but I know he's heavily tied to Cyclops. And he also apparently likes to clone mutants.
He also apparently has ties to Apocalypse as well.
Yeah, he's like been his herald for a long time.
Apparently he gets powers from him something like that.
I've seen this panel because apparently, like, because in the comics, Cyclops and Havok's dad is like a space pirate. very weird. I don't think they're going that route in the movies. But Mr. Sinister was kind of like a foster father or something to the Summers boys. And he mentions to like Cyclops one time, and it's like, look, I'm just looking out for you and your brothers. And he's like, brothers? My one brother, Alex. And Mr. Sinister is like, yes, I meant your brother. And that was like the first time they implied like there's a third Summers brother who turned out to be very underwhelming like decades later.
Oh, so it wasn't anyone important?
Yeah. It was this mutant named Vulcan, and a lot of people were disappointed because over the years they kept building up, there's a third Summers brother, there's a third Summers brother. Who is it? It was just this crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it was very underwhelming. But Mr. Sinister has a lot of ties to that. So my guess is he's going to take all these mutant powers to create his own mutants. Or clone mutants, or...
Maybe they'll bring Apocalypse back.
The theory going around is that he's going to clone mutants and he's going to create X-23, and that's going to be a thing in the third Wolverine movie.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but he starts as a normal guy and then becomes that guy, the guy with the white skin, with the suit and everything.
I believe so.
Because, I mean, if you look at it, like, some of the comic iterations of him, he kind of looks like Stardust in a way.
He kind of does.
But no, I assume that they're going to just do an origin story with him if that's what they are planning on doing. Final thoughts. One thing that we didn't hit on, I thought Cyclops was handled very well in the movie.
Yeah, better than the other movies.
Yeah, in the other movies, he's just a whiny bitch. I thought this, he did his part, you know. He was right in there battling against Apocalypse at the end. But other than that, final thoughts. It was just a good movie, you know. It was okay. I'd give it a solid B-, I would say.
Sweet. Yep. I'm the same. C+.
Yeah, I think B-. I enjoyed it. I think going into it with low expectations, like, made me enjoy it more.
Well, I will say, you know, because both this and Batman and Superman did get bad reviews going in, and we hated BVS, and this one was just okay. So it's not like the bad reviews reflect, you know, how we feel about the movie, in case, you know, people might be thinking that.
Yeah. Great.
Jason, all right, are you falling asleep over there?
Yes. My throat really hurts. I'm going to stop talking now.
Good night, sweet prick.
Man, I've had a sore throat the entire day, and now it's like aching me. All right, I'm going to close out the show. Ladies and gentlemen, follow us on Twitter at blahblahpod1. Keep it here on iTunes. Rate us. Subscribe to us. Leave a comment.
Tweet at us if you want me to do a Periscope eating chicken sandwiches.
Exactly. Tweet at us at blahblahpod1. Look out every Wednesday for a Blah Blah podcast episode. And sometimes you might get a little extra treat like this one. Share us with your friends. Good night.